Before we get started with this episode of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, a couple things to talk to you about. First, Superdraft. Great new way to play daily fantasy sports, and they have golf, folks. Go check them out. They have golf, football, basketball, hockey, baseball, you name it. They've got it. And the great thing is you play who you want. You take the risks you want to play because there's no pricing. It's an exclusive multiplier point system. In theory, the cheaper the player would be on another format, the more multiplier you get, the more risk you take, and the more pay you could get. It is that simple. And they have free contests all the time. So go sign up, use promo code Bubba when you create your account, play some free contests, then make a deposit. Get a free $10 deposit bonus by using promo code Bubba. So go to Superdraft in your app store or superdraft.io to check it out, promo code Bubba. Also, go check out a good friend of ours, fanshare sports.com. They've crushed golf and football ownership. They've got the blogs going. They've been a great friend of ours for quite some time. They're introducing NBA products as we speak. Great stuff at fanshare sports.com. And when you use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, one word, ALWAYSPRESS, you get a free 20% off the package of your choice. I use a lot of their data throughout the podcast and throughout the week. You guys will love it too. So go check them out, Fanshare Sports. Become a Fanshare Pro by using promo code ALWAYSPRESS. Last but not least, if you can leave a rating and review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. It would help the podcast out a ton. But until next time, this is the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast previewing the RSM Classic.
Play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. All right, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. Tonight, we'll be previewing the last event of the fall swing, the last real event of the fall swing, second straight cut event, which is beautiful to see in the Always Pressing world. You can find me on Twitter at BDMTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And my co-host, as always, you can find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. It was a brisk 85 out here today.
I got fuck your show.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be like 68 tomorrow. So we have a cooling trend coming in. Played golf on Sunday, and I'm sitting there looking around. I'm all, it's November. It's the middle of November, guys. It's pretty crazy right now.
I need to hear about it. Go ahead. Move on. Last week, we had the Brendan Todd back-to-back.
Yes, Brendan Todd, man. Mayakoba, it started out the week looking like Harris Ingles was going to make about 99% of the DFS Twitter, betting Twitter, correct. But he still played well. He finished, I think, fifth or sixth. But Brendan Todd, back-to-back, dude. I was shocked when he got the first one. I was happy for him. This shocked me even more. Like, do you have any thoughts on this? Because this is bananas that he pulled this off.
Never in a million years. Never in a million years would I have thought Brendan Todd would win back-to-back tournaments ever in my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. There was some other good finishes, though. Carlos Ortiz was up there. Adam Long. Harris English finished fifth, like you said. Dahman was up there. I think you were on Hanser. Pat Perez had a good finish. I mean, minus fucking the winner, we had a lot of good calls last week.
Yeah, we had a lot of good calls. The core was in line, and in my overall it looked pretty good. And our boy Dirework sent the optimal lineup in the chat earlier this morning, and it's pretty crazy because he says you could have left $6,900 on the table with the ultimate lineup. It was Brendan Todd at 7,200, Carlos Ortiz at 77, Long at 66, Vaughn Taylor at 68, English at 8,000, and Joel Dahman at 68 would have given you the ultimate lineup, or the optimal lineup with $6,900 on the table. Brendan Todd, I don't know what event he pulled this from, was 1% owned.
1%. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, who's really playing Brendan Todd off a win? Not I.
So. Yeah, who's playing Brendan Todd, period? And I guess it's nothing against Brendan Todd, like nothing against the guy.
Well,
and I saw some cool quotes like Kuchar, I guess, because Todd goes way back. That's all right. Kevin knows him and likes him and roots for him and some others. But I guess Kuchar even said it for the guys that grew up and played with Todd. I guess Kuchar, he's the old man, but he knows him pretty well. He says they were all shocked. He kind of got the yips and it went the way it did. And they couldn't be happier for him because he's just like such a good dude that was, I guess, people thought was like one of the really, really good players and just fell apart out of nowhere. And that's golf.
Yep. For sure.
But yeah, like you said, a bunch of other awesome finishes. I love the fall swing because we get a lot of these names, these kind of up and comer, not all like a lot of cornies, but also a lot of kind of young guys that get to kind of keep making their name. It's fun, you know. Scheffler, another made cut. You got Lanto made a cut, didn't have a great finish, but you have to see a lot of these guys. And I thought it was funny, you know, Jason Day doesn't do anything. I can't remember if Finau made the cut or not. Did he miss it? Because I know he was on the bubble last time I checked.
Yep.
There were a lot of big names that should have made the cut that did not make the cut. So it was an interesting week, and I'm kind of leaning that way again this week. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's similar, that's for sure. So we'll see.
Well, all right. Speaking of this week, I hinted at earlier, it's the RSM Classic, the Seaside Island Boys, the Georgia Boys. You're going to hear all the narratives everywhere you go. We've talked narratives on here before. I'm not going to go deep into it this year unless you want to, but they're, in recent years, a lot of these narratives haven't played out as well as people would like. Now, they might make the cuts, but they haven't been doing quite the same. But this is where we saw our good old boy CH3 bring it home last year. Why don't you give us a past event history?
Yep, CH3 was your champion last year, 19 under par in a playoff over Patrick Rogers, of all people. Austin Cook was the 2017 champion, 2017-18 season. It always messes with me when I look at this. But anyways, long story short on Austin Cook, 21 under, four shots over J.J. Spahn. Mackenzie Hughes was the 2016 champion, 17 under in a playoff over Blaine Barber, Billy Horschel, Henrik Norlander, Camilo Villegas, and 2015 narrative street guy this week, I think. I called it last week, but it didn't pan out very well. 22 under Kevin Kisner over Kevin Chappell by six shots. Robert Streb has won this event in the past. Chris Kirk, and then Tommy Gainey, Ben Crane, and Heath Slocum.
It's a fun event, and you mentioned some interesting names there. It's a fun event for me because it brings back a lot of the names I talked about earlier, but there's also a good set of kind of big names. Cooch is here again. You got CH3, who to me is a bigger name than most. Kiz is in town. Webb Simpson's here. So it's not just a complete, you know, Safeway or something. It's got a little bit of both mixed in here. And you mentioned there's a lot of course history, a lot of event history. We're playing at the Sea Island Golf Club. There's two courses we're going to see, the Seaside course and the Plantation course. Saturday and Sunday's rounds are both on the Seaside. The first two rounds, each group of players will play each course once. There's 156 golfers. Top 65 in ties make it to the weekend. So full field. We haven't had a full field in a long, long time. So this is pretty darn awesome. Just real quick on the Plantation course, the one that will only play once. It's a par 72, little over 7,000 yards. It's not long, obviously. It's more inland in the trees. They redid the course. Davis Love and his group came in and redid it. It was a scoring paradise. You'd imagine it still is just because of the distance. But they did move the greens, the bunkers around. There's fewer bunkers, but they put them in more strategic locations. Greens aren't super fast. Bermuda greens, if you're accurate off the tees, they're a little smaller greens than the Seaside course, but there should be some easy scoring there. Scoring on average has been about 1.5 to 2 strokes easier on that course than the Seaside course. On the Seaside course, par 70, around 7,000 yards. It is not long at all. It is, some say, a link style. Some just, it's because it's wide open. There's not a lot of trees. It's right off the ocean. If there's wind, it's trouble right now. Early reports are wind's not going to be a big thing. There's potential rain on the weekend, but we can only dictate the cuts when we make our lineups. And right now that looks to be okay. The greens are larger than average and they're fast. They're kind of slow on the Plantation. They average 11 to 11 and a half on the Seaside course, about 13 on the stint meter, which is very quick. Bermuda greens, which a lot of these, Southeast boys like quite a bit. You're going to hear waters on this course a lot. It's on 14 holes, but it only comes into play on like 4 to 5 holes. The fairways are rather generous, most of these guys say, but when it's windy, they become much smaller. It's a less than driver course. Every quote I read and everything, you need to be accurate off the tee. If you can bomb it straight, you're fine. Like some guys even mentioned Cam Champ, if he's driving it straight, he's got a big advantage here, but you can be less than driver on like 80% of the holes if you want to. You're going to be able to reach most of the par fives and two. A lot of strategic plays, a lot of wedges, good overall situation if the wind isn't bad. The Bermuda rough can be a little tricky, they said, but with the wide fairways, if you can make it in the fairways, you got a good chance to score here. I believe the average score is either between 14 or 22 under par like the last 5 or so years. So you're going to get some birdies, especially with no wind. I'm going to look at current form. Really, really important right now. Get those hot birdie makers coming in. But what key stats are you looking at, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of your typical resort course stats here. Birdie or better, obviously, percentage comes into play because, like when I read off the past event winners, it's getting up in the high teens, if not, you know, low 20s. So got to weight that. I don't know. I mean, I lean more distance over accuracy. It's kind of the way that I've looked at this over the past couple of years. Screens and regulation per the usual. I mean, you can kind of look at proximity. Last week, we didn't have any. Never mind. We didn't have any stats last week, did we?
Nope.
Shot tracker. Yeah.
Yep.
Good Lord.
We're back this week, though.
Yeah. I mean, you look at some splits, I guess, on Bermuda greens, too, if you wanted to go that route. But, I mean, again, no strokes gained data, I guess, last week either. So,
yeah,
that's a blast.
Yeah, it's rough, but we're getting there. We'll have some this week, only on one of the two courses, but we'll get something. It's better than nothing. Before we get into the DraftKings picks, as always, we're going to talk about Fanshare Sports. You go to Fanshare Sports and you get one of the packages by using promo code ALWAYSPRESS, one word, 20% off the package of your choice, PGA, NFL, NBA. Go check it all out at fanshare.com. A couple things to look at, and you can go deeper into it if you have one of their memberships. But last six events on Seaside courses, if that comes into play for you, the top DraftKings score, I guarantee you I can give you 10 guesses, Jesse, and you'd never guess his name.
On which course? On the Seaside?
Seaside type courses in this field.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, Jonathan Bird is leading the way at almost 78 DraftKings points. Webb Simpson, Johnny Vegas, Michael Thompson, Tim Wilkinson, Rafael Campos, JT Poston, Jim Furyk, Chris Stroud, Troy Merritt. I'm guessing because a lot of the big events the big boys play at aren't Seaside courses. If you want to go last six events on par 70s between 7,000 and 7,200 yards coming into this event, Webb Simpson leads the way at 103 points. Kuchar, Chucky Three Sticks, Billy Ho, Ryan Armour, Austin Cook, Keith Mitchell, Jim Furyk, Bryce Garnett, and Zach Johnson come into the mix there. If you want to look at just the last four RSM Classics scoring-wise, you know, Austin Cook has played well here twice. In four events, last four events, Kisner's got 94 points, and that's with a missed cut. Ted Potter Jr., J.J. Spahn, David Hearn are a few to take a look at in those. You mentioned Bermuda. I can pull up the last six events on Bermuda just for fun real quick while we're here in this field. That's the beauty of Fanshare Sports, just like that. Ba-doom, ba-doom. Got to log back in because I had it ready too soon for you guys. They don't want anybody stealing your stuff. Let's just put it that way. Last six events, Bermuda. And I'm guessing Killer Keith will be pretty high on this list. If we go current field, here we are. Matt Kuchar leads the way at 92. Kisner Sabatini is third with 83. Sebastian Munoz, that's the guy I wanted to talk about later, so that's good. He's up top there. Davis Riley, Harris English, Joel Dahman, Scotty Scheffler, and Johnny Vegas. So interesting names there, but a lot you can do with Fanshare. The ownership, I look at every Wednesday night. If guys have questions in the chat, I usually help them out with that. But I look at it. I usually don't pivot too much because all I want are a couple of guys that are low-owned, and it works out. But if something stands out, it definitely comes in handy. So I don't hate that at all. Let's get into the DraftKings scoring. Jesse, we have five guys over 10K. Webb Simpson at 11.6, Billy Ho at 11,000, Cooch 10.6, CH3 10.4, and Harris English getting that $2,000 price bump up to $10,000. We weren't huge fans of the 10K range last week. Honestly, I don't think you need to go up here this week, but if you are, what are your thoughts on the 10K and above?
Yeah, not a huge fan again. I will say Billy Horschel at 11,000. I feel like he's kind of trending toward a win. He did finish second here in 2016, which was his last start at this event. And eighth last week, 24th at the HSBC, sixth at the Zozo. So he's been playing some pretty solid golf, and I just feel like he's trending upward there. Obviously, CH3 defending champion. I think he's playable. Webb's Southern boy, he's playable as well, I would think. Not a huge fan. Harris English, what a price bump for him up at the 10K. His course history is sketchy at best, but two straight top fives and top six in his four of his last five starts. quite amazing for Harris English. I wonder how people will treat that price bump, because if it's like, you know, if it's a week where people are saying it's too expensive for Harris English, I would play him. But if everybody's back on board after last week, you know, that's when I would probably try to pivot to other options.
Yeah, we have actually the same guys we wanted to talk about here. Billy Ho, I think, is interesting at 11,000, because out of all the guys up here, it's weird in a field like this, he's the one I think can win the most. So I don't mind paying up for him. I just don't have the utmost confidence in the other ones up here, but I'm with you. I feel like he's getting closer. We talked about him last week. You mentioned that eighth place finish. He's playing well, second here 3 years ago. If you're paying up, I can go there. And then you hit it on the head with English. When I was taking my notes, I'm sitting there going, okay, his course history is sketchy, but we've talked about it time and time again in this fall swing. It's a different Harris English right now. And he's locked in a third, a sixth, a 33rd, a fourth, and a fifth. Like, this dude is playing amazing golf. That's why everyone loved him last week. He gets the price bump. And if he comes in super low owned, it's like, first off, for cash, I almost think he's a great play. It's Harris English, so I guess you always have that kind of thing in the back of your mind that scares you. But he's just playing so well. A cut seems pretty inevitable, which in golf, again, it's never inevitable. But he seems pretty locked in, and he's trending so, so well to a good event here. So English at 10,000 is sneaky interesting based on ownership, if you want to go up here. You don't need to go up here, though. But we're basically on the same page here. Billy Ho, English would be the two guys I'm looking at up here. Not sure I'm going to need to go there, because we saw with the optimal lineup last week, 8,000 English was the highest priced one. A lot of the lineups I built last week, I didn't have a lot of high guys. I had some in the 9K. It was almost all 8K and below. There's so much young up-and-coming guys here. You could find some interesting lineups. 9K range. You got Kisner at 98, Hadron at 96, Wise 94, Noren 93, Scheffler 92. Brendan Todd got the price bump as well up to 91. And then ZJ coming in at $9,000. What are you liking up here?
Start with Kevin Kisner. I feel like this is probably the revenge game narrative for Kis here. Kind of a bit of a home course type of deal. Fourth in 2017. Did they have this tournament in 2018?
Yes. They had it last year, yes.
Labs has just got blanks for everybody there, which is odd. I don't know how he finished last year. First in 2015, already mentioned that before. And then he finished. He has another fourth here as well. Didn't play great last week. He made the cut. But, you know, this is kind of, like I said, a home course type of deal. My favorite play, I think, on the board is Scotty Scheffler at $9,200. 18th last week. He's never played here. Third the week before that, and 28th the week before that at $9,200. I'll take plenty of him. So for me in the 9K range, it's really Kisner and Scheffler.
I like the Kisner call. I'm a Kisner boy. I still am not locked into him yet. I wouldn't be shocked if he won, though. So I like where your head's at. I'm not on him right now. I think Adam Hadwin's an interesting one at 96. Always comes in low owned. When you think about these less than driver, you know, accurate off the tee, good approach game type courses like this, Hadwin usually shines at events like this. Not coming in the best form, of 48th and a 41st, but prior to that, a fourth and a second. He can be an interesting ownership play at 96 if you choose. I love Scotty Scheffler. I think we've loved Scotty Scheffler every event in the fall swing. And he really doesn't disappoint. Like, he might not have the super high finishes, but the dude's a birdie machine, and he's always seems to be within reach. Like, 18th last week, 3rd, 28th, 74th, 18th, 7th. He's pretty much 18th or better in 4 of 6 events. That's pretty darn good for a guy coming off the Corn Ferry. And we saw how he finished the Corn Ferry. I'm with you on Scotty Scheffler. He's a birdie machine. I like him a lot at 92. The guy I want to ask you about, though, I made a note to bring him up just for like I told you guys earlier, I want to do current form. But, Jesse, you and I like to do course history a lot, too. So I wanted to ask you about Zach Johnson, because we look at ZJ, you know, 23rd last week, which is big. He had a miscut and a 14th on the fall swing. So kind of interesting. Like, when he cuts, he finishes well. Last 2 years here, 7th and 8th, and he's a Georgia boy. Is there any interest in a $9,000 ZJ on a course he's very familiar with?
Yeah,
I can't bring myself to do it, but I wanted to bring it up for discussion because I know it'll be out there.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I mean, he's pretty much been made cut, miscut since, you know, the John Deere Classic back in July. So I don't know. I don't see him really paying off that price. That's pretty steep for at 9K.
Okay.
But most people think that, so If you wanted to put him in a GPP lineup, I wouldn't say no, but I'm not going to play him.
Yeah, and like cash games are one thing, but GPP, you almost have to have the hope the guy can win when he's 9K and above. I don't know if he can win. So that's the tricky part. Let's go into the 8K range. This is an interesting range. You got Russell Knox at 89. You got the red hot Brian Gay at 88. Fratelli 87. McCarthy 86. Henley 85. JT Poston 84. Bryce Garnett 83. Vaughn Taylor off of a great week in Mexico at 82. Jimmy Furyk on a short course at 81. Atlanto Griffin made the cut. Not a great weekend. $8,000. This is a fun range to get started if you don't feel like spending up, Jesse. What do you like in here?
Let's start with Fratelli. He's never played here, but 11th last week, 22nd the week before that. He's a guy who can play well, and you know has had some stretches of multiple top tens in a row and that kind of thing. So I like him. Vaughn Taylor had a pretty good finish last week. Finished eighth here in 2017. Where did he finish in 2018?
In 2018, so Vaughn Taylor, I got it right here. Just give me 2 seconds. He missed the cut last year, finished eighth the year before.
Okay.
And then missed cut, 54th missed cut.
Yeah. I mean, he's interesting at 82. He might be a little bit more popular. The pivot for me right there would be Jimmy Furyk. Sixth year in 2016, third in 2012. 11th in 2011. I'll let you say when he finished in 2018 because, again, for some reason, it's not loaded up for me here. But he has not missed a cut since the PGA Championship back in May.
He missed the cut here last year. Sorry.
Gotcha. Okay. He hasn't on tour. He hasn't missed a cut since the PGA Championship back in May. Obviously, he's not playing. You know, he's playing very sparingly, but he's picking his spots and he's making cuts. So he would be the guy that I would pivot off of. I think Vaughn will probably be more popular this week, especially after that finish he had last week. So really for me, it's Fratelli and Furyk. Vaughn Taylor, if you want to get chalky.
I love the Fratelli call. Fratelli is one of my GPP plays for later in the podcast. He's got that massive ceiling. He can kind of lose it, and that's where he misses his cuts. But usually when he's out there, he's a birdie machine, and you'll see him in the contention at some point in time. So I love the Fratelli call at 87. I'm a big fan of that. On courses like this, I mentioned it with Hadwin. Rusty Knox gets my attention. Like, he was frustrating as all hell, but he still finished 33rd last week, which means a lot to me because he barely made the cut. Like, he was struggle busing it to get to the cut, and then he actually played okay on the weekend. He's made 6 straight cuts on the tour, made 3 or 4 cuts here. He's interesting at $8,900. I'd rather go to Fratelli at 87, but Rusty Knox at 89 is an interesting play. One of my favorite plays, like, I could see me starting out with Fratelli and Brian Gay. I was all over Brian Gay last week, finished 14th. He finished third 2 weeks ago, 42nd, a 7th, a 23rd, and a 65th. He's 6 of 6 made cuts on the fall swing. He's made 4 of his last 5 cuts here, including a 3rd and a 4th place finish. Finished 23rd here last year, coming in just outstanding form. I like Brian Gay quite a bit at $8,800. I mentioned Fratelli. The other ones I like is Bryce Garnett. He's a birdie machine at $8,300, coming in with good past history here. He's made all 5 cuts here, and he finished 11th last week. So I think Garnett at 83 is interesting. You mentioned Vaughn Taylor at 82. I think he's a great play, like a phenomenal play, but I'm not playing a chalky Vaughn Taylor. Not a chance in hell. I think he's a really good play, but no chalky Vaughn Taylor. And then I'm just going to mention him because I think we need to mention him every week that he's in the field because of what he can do. And he had a rough week last week, like I talked about. He finished 76th. But Lanto Griffin at $8,000, he's always got that win equity. Always. Like, his birdie-making abilities are insane. So he's a GPP only for me right now because I think he might be getting a little worn down this fall swing. But if anybody can bust out some birdies, it's him. So I'll narrow this down when we recap the 8K range. But I like this range a lot. I can see myself. I did one lineup almost all 8K last week. I will do one pretty close to it again this week. I like this range quite a bit. All right, Jesse, hitting the 7K range, 7,500 above. It's a lot like the 8K range. I mean, like, bottom sevens are a little rough, but 75 and above, you got the likes of Brian Harman, Sabatini, Adam Long, Austin Cook, past winner here, Harry Higgs, Ryan Harmer, Chris Kirk, great return to the PGA Tour last week with a 33rd, and then Joel Dahman at 76. So a really good grouping here at $76 to $7,900. Who are you looking at?
Start up top with Sabatini. you mentioned him, and one thing I think I forgot what part of Fanshare Sports it was there that you were on those stats that they have. But he was in that, so that just gives me even more reason to play him. Missed cut here in 2017, but then 45th, 22nd, 70th, and 27th. So again, another a different Sabs than, you know, what we've traditionally seen in the past. Did he? I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous with the computer. Sabatini, at this moment.
I got him.
How did he play last week?
Did not play here last year.
But he played last week, this past week.
Oh, sorry, last week finished 33rd.
Yeah, 33rd the week before that, and 31st. Just turning out top 35s, man. Like, it's his job, cashing checks. Again, I will go back to Adam Long at $7,800. I mean, speaks for itself. He's just playing so well this fall swing. And if they're not going to price him up, then I'll keep playing him. I played one lineup last week. All full disclosure, played one lineup last week, did not play him, and absolutely tilted the rest of the weekend. So I just didn't even pay attention to golf because of the way he started. I mean, he played so well in the first round, and of course it was a delayed start and that whole fucking mess that ended up finishing this morning. But Adam Long, I like him a lot at $7,800.
Yeah, those are both great. I love Sabs at 79. Like you said, constantly just turning out made cuts, top 33s. I think it fits him very well. I was going to mention Adam Long, but I knew I didn't need to because that's your boy. So I don't mind that at all. He's definitely a good play. But a couple others, Ryan Armour, four straight made cuts here, including a 15th last year, 33rd last week, 8th the week before. Plays really well at courses like this. So Armour at 77 is interesting. You can go to Kirk. I'm going to keep watching him a little bit and see how he keeps doing on his return here. But the other guy, Joel Dahman at 76, sixth place last week. We even said it on the pod, like, he's too darn cheap. Sixth place last week. He's made his last two cuts here, 37th and a 49th. So they're both very, very interesting in this price range. But I really like the Sabs and Armour and Long area. Three really, really solid looks right there. What do you got from 7,400 to 7,000? There's a ton of golfers.
Yeah, there's nobody at 75, though. How weird is that?
Yeah, that's why I'll read these all. There's not that many because there's no one at 75.
Yeah, I mean, it's really strange. Start with Cameron Percy. He's made four straight cuts at this golf tournament. Not really great finishes, but coming off of 48th at Bermuda a couple weeks ago, finished 7th Safeway, you know, earlier this year. Earlier this fall, and 11th at the Sanderson. So he's got some pretty good finishes. Cameron Tregale at 7,200. Where did he? Well, you look this up, I'll finish up. But where did he finish in 2018 at this golf course?
Tringali.
So he's 59th here, or 59th at the Mayakoba, 13th at the Houston Open, 44th. I mean, he's made every cut this fall swing, playing really good golf.
He's missed the cut here the last 2 years.
Last 2 years missed the cut. So kind of a bit of sketch. Course history, he did have three straight top 27s, so 27, 22nd, 27, you know, in the years before the two miscuts. I feel like he's playing another guy who's, you know, you can kind of ignore those two straight miscuts because he's playing better golf than he had been before that. So for me, below 75, it's those two. And then last but not least, Mark Hubbard.
He had a
great week last week. I thought he finished better than 59th because he was leading at one point, right?
Yeah,
he started off 64, he had a bad 71, road. Yeah, 73, 74. But I mean, hitting a bunch of greens. So I think he's fine. You know, he's made a bunch of cuts in a row on tour, which is pretty good for somebody at $7,000.
Yeah, the Hubs made a putt towards the end. I think it might have been his final hole was tapping, so he putted it like Happy Gilmore.
Dude, really?
He put his hand down by the bottom. And then, of course, you know, some of the people that, you know, haters are going to hate, but on Twitter said, isn't that counted as, like, grounding the club or something, like, you know, or anchoring? So, you know, we can't have any fun anymore. The fun haters.
God forbid.
Yep, God forbid. You know, the guy's like, I'm finishing almost, like, the bottom third of the field because I just completely trunk slammed on the weekend. Let me have a little fun out here.
Right.
Yeah. God forbid. But, yeah, for me, one guy I'm going to go back to, I've been on him a lot lately, is Brian Stewart, 23rd last weekend. He's made almost every cut, I think, if not every cut, on the fall swing. He's finished 28th or better in all but two of those events. Missed the cut here last year, 22nd, missed cut, 25th. So it's pretty much an all or nothing thing. But I like his, he's a big birdie man, not a cash game play, but his birdies are there. A guy that I wanted to bring up because he started out the fall swing just straight fuego, including a W, a 7th, a W, a 33rd, a miscut, a 28th, took some weeks off, missed a cut this past weekend. Course history, has, he missed a cut here last year as well. But Sebastian Munoz is down to $7,100. And that's a guy that stands out to me as a potential GPP-type play. That's nice and cheap. He's a guy I don't mind going to. A guy I like to play a lot for when he's cheap all the time. He's a cut-making fool with some birdie upside is David Hearn. He's $7,000. He has made all six cuts here, including a 15th, 17th, and 9th the last three times he's played here. Made back-to-back cuts on tour, including a 41st and an 8th. I think David Hearn at $7,000 is very nice. You mentioned Hubbard. I love Hubbard again. Like Hubbard and Stewart are my two punts that opened up so much last week. Stewart got the price bump. Hubbard did not. So I'll go right back to Hubbard again at $7,000. And then for you GPP folks out there, Troy Merritt's only $7,000. He's a short course specialist, 23rd here last year, 54th the year before. Made three straight cuts on tour, including a 30th his last time out. So he's not a bad GPP play as well. But 7K range, not too shabby. Who you liking in the 6K range?
Start with 6,900 with Henrik Norlander. He has a second place finish here all the way back in 2016. He has made three straight cuts on tour, including 42nd, 28th, and 45th in his last three starts. So started off pretty rough for him this fall swing, but seems like he's figured some shit out. Stu Goat.
Yes.
He's in play this week.
Georgia boy.
Yep. And has made his last three cuts across the European and the PGA Tour. So, I mean, obviously, no, like, crazy finishes for him. He does have one top 10 in there. But at 6,800, I think you can do a whole lot worse. 6,700, Bo Hoag. I mean, dude has made every single cut except for the Greenbrier this fall swing. Obviously not playing in the no-cut events over in the Asian swing and that kind of thing. But, I mean, 20th last week, 11th the week before, and you can get him at 6,700. Okay. All right. I'll bite on that. And then super deep, Sebastian Kapellen at $6,200. Not 100% sure who this guy is, but he has made three straight cuts on tour as well. 68th, 35th, 66th. Mayakoba, Bermuda, and Houston Open. Has missed one cut. The fall swing was a safe way. Other than that, basically made every cut. He's coming off the Corn Ferry. So he's a dude to, I mean, keep an eye on at $6,200. If he's, you know, just going to consistently make cuts, that's very interesting for that cheap of a price.
Yep, that's a very cheap price. I don't hate that at all. For me, the first guy I'm going to go back to at $6,900, finished 14th last week. He's made four of five straight cuts, including a fourth-place finish, is Zach Blair at $6,900. He's a guy I talked about before this even this fall swing started. He's a short course specialist. He can get birdies and bunches, and he's showing that on a lot of these fall events. So $6,900 for Blair, I like. You mentioned the Stu Goat. I like that quite a bit. There's quite a lot of guys I can make cases for. Fabian Gomez missed the cut last week, and then he made four straight cuts prior to that, including a 7th. Made both cuts here, 37th here last year. He's interesting for me at 6,800. Strebby's in play if you want to get weird. Matt McNeely, I talked about him last week. He started out as bad as you could start, and he still finished 26th last week. The dude's made five straight cuts, 26th, 35th, 17th in his last three. First time here, I think he's interesting at 6,800. Scotty Harrington's a guy we talk about a lot. First time here, but coming up 72nd last week, he's made four or five cuts, including a second-place finish. Roberto Castro's a cut maker if you need to come down here. I don't think you need to come down here a lot, but T-Dunk's a guy you mentioned last week. He finished 48th. He's made a couple straight cuts. And then the last guy I'll mention, we mentioned him last week at 6,200. And let me pull him up real quick. Here he is. Finished 66th last week. Finished 29th a few weeks ago. He's made three of four cuts here. Hudson Swafford's only $6,300 if you want to go to the Swath. But similar to your Kapellen pick, just a punt that makes the cut, maybe has a little bit of upside. I think the higher end of the 6K range has a little more win equity in it, as we saw with the optimal lineup last week. Wouldn't be shocked to see any of these guys in it this week as well. All right, Jesse, recapping the DraftKings, 10K and above, who's your one guy?
Horschel.
I'll go Harris English. 9K range, one guy.
Scheffler.
Same here. 8K range, give me two guys.
Fratelli and Furyk.
I'll go Brian Gay and Bryce Garnett. 7,600 and above, give me two.
Sabs and Long.
I'll go Sabs and Armour. 7,400 to 7,000, give me two.
Percy and Tringale.
I'll go Hearn and Hubbard. I like Stewart a lot, but Hearn and Hubbard, cheap 7K options, and I'll go that route. 6K range, give me two guys.
Stuart Sink and Bo Hogue.
I'll go Zach Blair and Matt McNeely. Let's ride the Stanford Cardinal on that one. All right. I'm looking forward to this event, so let's finish this up with our usual. If you're starting a cash lineup, Jesse, and cash has been very nice, especially on events like this, and with the pricing the way I see it, this could be a good cash week. Who are three guys you'd be starting a cash lineup with?
Scottie Scheffler would be 100% on that team. I think Fratelli's probably is right there, and then Tringale.
I got Brian Gay, Sabatini, and Hearn for my cut-making cash boys. GPP, give me three guys.
Sebastian Kaplan, that 6,200 guy I mentioned before, if you're wanting to get super weird with it there. And then Horschel, I think, like I said, I think he's trending towards a win, and then Stugo.
Yeah, I got Fratelli, Garnett, and Blair. Big fan of Blair at 6,900. All right, the always fun part of the show. Who you got winning this thing, Jesse?
What's odds on Scottie Scheffler?
Scottie Scheff is 30 to 1. I knew I already had that written down because I knew that. I think every week we want to know Scottie's because they're always around this price. Like, he's going to win. Like, he's going to win. Yeah, sooner than later.
What about how low is English and Horschel?
You can get English at 28, which isn't that bad actually. Billy Ho's 14.
That's odd that he's at 28 and 10K.
Yeah, English is the same price as Kisner and Noren. They're all 28. Yeah. Weird. I think DraftKings throwing shit at the wall right now. I think we're actually seeing their algorithm look at ownership and prices right now.
That's my
recent form. Something's clicking to make English. Like I agree with the price bump, but I don't think a $2,000 price bump was correct.
No. I mean, even in this field.
Yeah.
But I mean, that like we talked about already. I mean, that could be something that, you know, creates an ownership advantage there if you do play him.
Which makes me very excited. I think Brian Gay at 40 to 1 is interesting. I can get behind that. The form he's coming in with. I think you mentioned he won it here a long time ago. I think he's interesting. Zach Blair at 100 to 1. He can get on a weird streak and get it rolling. If anything, top 20 him. And Matt McNeely at 150 to 1, top 20 him. I can get behind those two. Any other guys that tickle your fancy?
Nope. That's pretty much it, man.
All right, Jesse. This will be our last podcast until we start maybe thinking about programming other stuff in here. Maybe a President's Cup. Maybe some random off-season topics or guests. So it's our last real golf event because we're probably not going to do the Hero. So we have nothing until the Sony, or the Champions, whatever that one's called. I forget now off the top of my head. But so a President's Club, we'll have Champions, and maybe a few other things. But any final thoughts as we wrap up 2019?
No. I mean, it's it's been a year. So I appreciate, and I know you do as well, everybody who listens and follows and, you know, all the guys in the Slack chat and everybody who stays on top of the golf game, man. It's a grind. I mean, so this will be the time to take a little bit of time off here for the next few weeks and I guess lose money and other stuff.
Yeah, take a breather. I got plenty of other podcasts for you to listen to at Fantasy Sports Degens, so come check it out. I got your football covered and everything else. Mitch has your basketball covered. The Slack chats are fired up on everything, so come check it all out. But yeah, another great year in the books. Like I said, we'll have a few more podcasts coming up, but we won't have your every Monday like we've had before, which will, you know, honestly, we're both looking forward to. So
yeah.
With that being said, if you guys give a rating and review on iTunes, we really appreciate it. And in those ratings and reviews, if you want to give us some like pointers on what we can fix or anything, that's fine. That's totally fine. Try to give us a 5-star rating when you do that, but yeah, go for it. Because the more ratings and review, the more people see the podcast. It actually helps the podcast grow. That's why I buck you guys for it. So if you guys can do that, that'd be great. Jesse's on Twitter at DFS Golf Cause, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And I am at BD Intric. Thanks again, everybody, and good luck this weekend at the RSM Classic.